So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches, soy Carlos Medina. Puede parecer mentira, pero 7 días han pasado ya desde que nos encontráramos por última vez en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche el guitarrista de Springsteen nos propone un show, yo diría que de lo más psicodélico, ya veremos. No tengo muy claro si habrá algún hilo conductor en el programa, como a veces sí es cierto que es habitual, pero nadie dijo que el Underground Garage fuera un show al uso. Ahora bien, de lo que estoy absolutamente convencido es que no nos faltará la música. De hecho, así le damos la bienvenida a Little Steven. Lo hacemos con Pretty Things, la banda británica de la que formaran parte Keith Richards y Mick Jagger, antes de que se unieran al proyecto que estaba formando Brian Jones, un joven grupo llamado The Rolling Stones. De hecho, será Brian Jones el primer invitado al Garage. Pretty Things, Walking Through My Dreams. Aquí en Rock FM comienza el Underground Garage. Buenas noches.
Sweep our thoughts away, when you cross my mind. Walking through my dreams at night, you're walking through my dreams at night. Walking through my dreams and I'm not dreaming.
It's Brian Jones' birthday this week, February 28th, 1942. He started a little group called the Rolling Stones in 1962. the final lineup coming together January of 63 when Charlie Watts, the drummer, was finally persuaded to join bass player Bill Wyman, singer Mick Jagger, second guitarist Keith Richards, and Brian Jones. As the 60s began, a new music trend called rhythm and blues began to challenge the entrenched bar band genre called trad jazz, which is what we would call Dixieland jazz. Ironically, these new Turks, led by Alexis Korner, Cyril Davies, and John Mayall, were encouraged by the man most responsible for the success of trad jazz, as well as encouraging another one of his band members to popularize skiffle, and he would open the legendary Marquee Club with a gentleman named Harold Pendleton. The cat I am referring to is Chris Barber. Barber would make history by bringing over Big Bill Brunzi, Sonny Terry, and Brownie McGee, another seminal blues artist. Once Muddy Waters hit England in 1958, the seed was planted. Muddy's band was not just a blues band, but the first hard rocking band of any kind. Nobody quite heard a guitar played with that level of ferocity before, and he would influence an entire generation, starting with the young kids like Brian Jones, who began to play slide guitar like Muddy and Elmore James, very much impressing the young Jagger and Richards. Soon the English music scene would not only be divided by old and young, jazz and blues, but the young were divided by blues on one side, represented by Muddy Waters, and rock and roll on the other, represented by Chuck Berry, with Bo Diddley somewhere in between. Brian was a blues purist, but he wanted Mick Jagger to be his singer. Jagger said, "You take me, you gotta take my friend Keith Richards." Brian wisely compromised and started listening to the records Keith and Mick were digging, and he ended up agreeing with them. But there was something to be said for that side of the tracks. But his idealistic guitar player Jeff Bradford quit in disgust. Brian would be the leader and manager of the Rolling Stones, which he named, for about 6 months, during which he made the fatal mistake, maybe literally, of paying himself £5 more than the other guys, for which they, probably unfairly, never forgave him. He was doing all the hustling, after all. He talked Giorgio Gomelsky into giving them the gig at the Richmond Hotel, later to be called the Crawdaddy Club, and he'd write to the newspapers, arguing their case whenever they got a bad review. The problem was, he could be very sweet one moment, and very nasty, very obnoxious, extremely megalomaniacal the next. He had his first child at 16 and would have four more, none of which he ever really acknowledged by the time he was 25. He would beat his girlfriends regularly, mercilessly, and drive to gigs separately, making sure the group knew he was the boss. Andrew Lou Goldham, coming in as manager, would change the dynamic, and once Jagger and Richards started writing, the power drifted away from Brian, and he never recovered. He would spiral downward quickly with drugs, until finally dying in 1969, supposedly by accidental drowning, but more likely having been murdered by Frank Thorogood and covered up by Tom Keelock, who Keith had installed to keep an eye on Brian and keep him safe. Thorogood, a workman at Brian's house, who had bullied him into basically taking over and knew he was about to be fired. But Brian Jones' contribution to the first half of the Stones' golden era, their first six albums, was essential. Aside from introducing the unique marriage of androgyny, sexual excess, and a commitment and dedication to the high standards of rhythm and blues tradition, all of which would become staples of the rock and roll culture, he would also play slide guitar on I Wanna Be Your Man, Little Red Rooster, I'm Moving On, No Expectations. Most of the early harmonica playing was his. He'd play sitar on Painted Black, tambora on Street Fighting Man, marimba on Under My Thumb and Out of Time, recorder and piano on Ruby Tuesday, dulcimer on Lady Jane, accordion on Backstreet Girl, mellotron on 2,000 Light Years, She's a Rainbow, We Love You, and Citadel. And he'd never get composition credit, but he wrote this riff.
What you know. wise guy. You lead the way.
But listen,
go on.
I'll go when I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Follow me.
Hi, this is David Bowie, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Questions and answers have brought dishonor. My head's spouting shame. It seems that I've blackened the family name. Mother says that she can't stand the neighbors talking. I've gotta pack my bags, leave this home, start walking, yeah. I'm guilty, I wish that I was sorry this time. I wish that I could pay for my crime. I can't help thinking about me. I can't help thinking about me. Remember when we used to go to church on Sundays? I lay awake at night, terrified of school on Mondays. Oh, but it's too late now. I wish I was a child again.
Never Never Land. The station seems so cold, the ticket's in my hand. My girl calls my name. Hi, Dave. Drop in, see around, come back if you're this way again. I'm on my own, I've got a long way to go. I hope I make it on my own. I can't help thinking about me. I can't help thinking about me. I can't help thinking about me. I can't help thinking about me.
Oh, it was a spring of fir leaves and cobalt flowers, when Cadillacs fell through the trees like rain, drowning the meadows with madness, while out of every imitation cloud dropped myriad wingless crowds of nutless Nagasaki survivors, and lost teacups full of our ashes floated by.
started the show with the pretty things. Walking through my dreams. Fantastic psychedelic rock, which I am finding so inspiring, it might just cause a slightly psychedelic set later. Don't want to make any promises. Our tribute to Brian Jones started with the last time. Brian's riff, a rather crucial part of the song. Under My Thumb, Brian Jones on marimba from Aftermath, 66. Andrew Lou Goldham doing that wonderful production. Can't help thinking about me. A man born to start the glam movement. 5 or 6 years later, David Bowie in the lower third had just changed his name a couple of months earlier because of the Monkees. Tony Hatch producer.
I'm going to find a cave. Good advice from the 45 Spider. Get it from ReverbNation.com/45Spider.
And Street Fighting Man, Brian Jones on sitar. One of the last couple of sessions he would participate in. Wasn't on too much of Baker's Banquet. Did the bottleneck on No Expectations and just a few things. He was starting to go. He also played the tambora, I should add, which is the more droning Indian instrument. And Jimmy Miller beginning the second half of the Stones classic era. Happy birthday, Brian.
Estás escuchando el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Esta noche el guitarrista de Springsteen nos plantea un programa, como él mismo ha definido, de lo más bizarro. Nuestro próximo protagonista es el señor Emil Berliner, quien entre otras empresas fue el fundador de la Deutsche Grammophon, una de las discográficas por excelencia dedicadas a la música clásica. Pero antes de llegar a este punto, nuestro protagonista recorrió un largo camino. Berliner nació en Alemania en 1851 y con 19 años emigró a Estados Unidos, alentado por un amigo que hizo lo mismo. Su tiempo lo ocupaba mayoritariamente en la biblioteca del Instituto Cooper, donde leía sus dos grandes pasiones, la electricidad y el sonido. En 1867 asistió a la gran exhibición de inventos y descubrimientos científicos que tuvo lugar en Filadelfia. Allí pudo contemplar el primer teléfono que presentó Alexander Graham Bell y, fascinado por aquello, terminó trabajando para la propia compañía. Finalmente fundó su propia empresa y allí fue donde inventó el gramófono, aparato que permitía grabar y reproducir sonidos. A la mejora de este dispositivo dedicó gran parte de su vida. Así, también tuvo tiempo para trabajar en otros proyectos, como por ejemplo fundar la Deutsche Grammophon, inventar el disco de vinilo que empleaba su gramófono y dedicar parte de su fortuna a reducir la mortalidad infantil. Pero no me enrollo más. Mejor que nos lo cuente nuestro maestro de ceremonias favorito. Dale, Little.
So a cat named Emil Berliner, at the age of 14, decides school is like Nowheresville. He figures it's 1865, I'm in Hanover, Germany, and I ain't never gonna make no history hanging around with these stiffs. So he says later to the Wiener Schnitzel and motors to D.C., where things had calmed down for a minute after a little thing they like to call the Civil War. He gets a gig as a janitor in the lab of a nutty dude named Constantine, who would later invent saccharin and be played by Keanu Reeves in the movie. One day he checks out a demonstration of a new device called the telephone by one Alexander Graham, "When you get a minute, give me a bell," who stole the idea from a captain in the Giuseppe Garibaldi crew on Staten Island, Antonio Meucci. But that's a story for another day. His telephone thing was getting a lot of attention. There was only one problem. It didn't work. Bell's electromagnet and diaphragm thing received nice, but the transmission side was like, forget it. So Berliner turns his little apartment into a lab and starts fooling around, trying to make this thing into a razor that will download audio and video, you know, something useful. He doesn't quite get there, but he figures a way to transmit speech clearly. Later, it would be called a microphone. This would save Alexander Graham Bell's ass, because
Without it, the telephone kind of like sucked. On his way to inventing a few other things, like the helicopter, Berliner would take a look at Thomas Edison's phonograph with its needle going in and out of the grooves as it wound around a cylinder. And he thought, well, you know, that's groovy, but it, like, doesn't work. I mean, that cylinder thing is going to take up too much space in the jukebox, baby. So he invents this horizontal disc and makes the needle vibrate side to side in a spiral groove on shellac. And pretty much that's how it worked, up until CDs came along and screwed everything up. Emil Berliner would lose control of his American company to unscrupulous business partners. So after having invented the record, Berliner had the honor of being the first man screwed by a record company.
I'm in the phone booth.
Hello there. This is Deborah Harry of Blondie, and I'm here with Little Steven in his underground garage. Underground parking, the lower level.
What's this?
What?
This car. This stupid car. Where's the Cadillac? The caddy. Where's the caddy?
The what?
The Cadillac we used to have. The Bluesmobile.
I traded it.
You traded the Bluesmobile for this?
No, for a microphone.
A microphone? Okay, I can see that.
Bring my friend, I said you called Dr. Robert. Day or night, he'll be there any time at all. Dr. Robert, Dr. Robert. You're a new and better man. He helps you to understand. He does everything he can. Dr. Robert, if you're down, he'll pick you up. Dr. Robert, take a drink from his special cup. Dr. Robert, Dr. Robert, he's a man.
Into the microphone, please.
I just want to say this is a wonderful thing, what you're doing, you know? So the public can pick up on what's happening, like, you know? Straighten everybody out and let them know where this whole other scene is, where it's at. You know, so everybody will stop coming on all the time. And then we'll get, you know, world peace.
Something up.
started our tribute to Emil Berliner.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Ich bin ein Emil Berliner. Hanging on the telephone. Blondie. Yeah, Jack Lee wrote it. Blondie covering the nerves there. Living in the USA from Michael DeBar. Brand new single. He produced it. Get it from wickedcoolrecords.com. Dr. Robert, one of the Beatles' coolest records. About a real guy. A doctor / drug dealer in New York. We got it on some other album, but it was actually from Revolver. Like him, The Dirty Truckers, written by Tom Baker, produced by David Minahan. Get it from rumbarrecords.com. More fabulous psychedelic coolness from the Vanilla Fudge. Yeah, cover of Junior Walker's Shotgun. And when we come back, a little foray into literary culture, Underground Garage style.
Esto es Little Steve's Underground Garage. Volvemos en un segundo en Rock FM.
De 6 a 10, tu casa, coche u oficina tienen proa, popa, babor y estribor.
Os voy a hacer unas preguntas, a ver de qué pie cojeáis.
En mi caso, fácil.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su banda. Somos Rock FM.
Siéntate en tu butaca. Ponte cómodo. Y prepárate para disfrutar del espectáculo que siempre quisiste ver. Rock FM presenta History of Rock. Una superproducción musical que te lleva a recorrer la historia del rock a través de sus himnos. Con una banda internacional de músicos y voces de primera línea, interpretando tus canciones favoritas de cada era. History of Rock llega al Teatro Calderón de Madrid a partir de abril. ¿Estás preparado para hacer historia? Entradas a la venta en rockfm.fm.
En Rock FM nos gusta tanto el fin de semana que lo disfrutamos durante 7 días. ¿Seguimos?
Seguimos en Rock FM disfrutando juntos del Underground Garage de Little Steven. Hay una sección a la que Stevie recurre cada semana para recordar a uno de los grandes personajes que le han marcado a lo largo de su vida. Y en ese sentido, esta noche William Maxwell Gaines es el gran protagonista. Gaines nació un 1 de marzo de 1922 en Brooklyn y es considerado como uno de los grandes editores de cómics estadounidenses. En 1947 se hizo cargo del negocio familiar, situándose al frente de la editorial Easy Comics, que se había hecho especialmente popular con la publicación de cómics de carácter divulgativo y la adaptación de historias de la Biblia. Sin embargo, Bill Gaines tenía en mente abrir el frente de actuación a otros géneros, de modo que decidió enfocarse especialmente en los géneros de terror, ciencia ficción y sátira. Una de las publicaciones más conocidas que lanzó Gaines, con permiso de Historias de la Cripta, fue la revista Mad, junto a Harvey Kurtz en 1952, algo de lo que sabe más Little Steven. Dale, maestro.
Our freak of the week is William Maxwell Gaines, born March 1st, 1922 in Brooklyn, and left us in 1972. He started off as the publisher and co-editor of EC Comics, but would become legendary, to my generation anyway, as the publisher of Mad Magazine for over 40 years. His father had started EC Comics, and when he died in a boating accident in 1947, Billy took over his father's business. EC stood for Educational Comics and featured Bible stories. When Gaines got it, he changed it to Entertainment Comics and began doing horror and sci-fi comic books, which led all the way to Senate subcommittee hearings in the 50s to institute censorship. Here's how it went. Senator Estes Kefauver, yeah, that one, he says, here on the cover of your May 22 issue, there seems to be a man with a bloody axe holding a woman's head up, which has been severed from her body. You think that isn't good taste? Yes, says Gaines. For the cover of a horror comic, a cover in bad taste, for example, Gaines went on, might be defined as holding the head a little higher so that the neck could be seen dripping blood from it. Kefauver, but you have blood coming out of her mouth. Gaines, a little bit. Kefauver, and there's blood on the axe. I think most adults would be shocked by that. Well, guess what? The Senate won, Gaines lost, and they censored him right out of business. But that was to our gain, because then he was forced to focus on Mad Magazine, which would entertain and influence at least one generation. God help us. Once a year, he'd take the staff on a trip. In the first year, they went to Haiti, where there was one subscriber on the island. They all drove to the guy's house and awarded him a renewal card. He'd do this every year. For like the 40 years he ran the place. His philosophy was, we must never stop reminding the reader of how little value they get for their money. He even paid extra to have cheaper looking paper in the magazine. Well, that's our kind of freak of the week. William Maxwell Gaines.
Hi, this is Buck Ormsby from the Wailers. I'm with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Nutty comic books. Are you ready? Are you ready, sir? Listen to this. Here. The thing without a face, all right? The face without a thing. The face with a thing in its face. The thing with a face in its thing. The thing with a thing in its thing. Well, do you realize Henry is becoming interested in girls?
Now, what makes you think so?
His wife keeps complaining about him.
Like a razor blade, oh. Cut like a
Magazine Special Edition. They only put out 17 of these a year.
Boy, they're really socking it to that Spiro Agnew guy again. He must work there or something.
Let's do the fold-in.
Okay. What higher power do TV evangelists worship?
I'll say God.
I'll say Jesus.
The almighty dollar!
You fold it, you butt it.
Ooh, snappy answers to stupid questions. I'm great at these. Ask me if something smells funny in here, boy.
Does something smell funny in here?
I don't think so, stupid.
Homie, you want pork chops?
No, I want roast beef, you clod.
Look at this. Special insert, iron-on madness. Ban the bath. Don't trust anyone over 10. Sock it to me.
Those magazines create a dangerous amount of laughter.
I should drop you a line and say I got out ahead. We met at Tracy's party with the big brass band. I was the guy who proposed and spilled my heart on your sleeve. You were the girl who asked me to leave. But she doesn't see I'm really shy and sweet. She's in love with everyone but me.
Oh.
keep those good vibrations happening with her. Got to keep those good vibrations happening with her. I've got to keep those good vibrations happening with her. She's given me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's given me excitations.
We started our William Maxwell Gaines set with the Wailers out of our tree. Since nobody recorded what? Me Worry? Should have been a Ramones song, right? Are you sure the Ramones never had a title? I don't know how they missed that one. And while we're feeling silly, The Last of the Secret Agents, featuring Alan and Rossi. Anybody remember them? Marty Allen. He was funny. Lee Hazelwood, as usual, writing and producing.
For Real, Prima Donna's new one. The album is ST. Get it on Wicked Cool Records. Eric Palmquist producing. Tracy's Party, The Red Button. Get it from theredbutton.net.
And two G's in Trogs. Good Vibrations. Larry Page producing. Brian Wilson and Mike Love rolling over in their graves. Oh, they're alive. That's right. We'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week.
Llegó el momento de detener la maquinaria del Underground Garage y disfrutar juntos de nuestro clásico semanal, o lo que es lo mismo, de la canción más chula de la semana. Recibimos al señor Richie Sambora y a Orianti. Ambos forman la banda RSO y presentan la canción We Are Magic. Todo tuyo, Little.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from two of the rock and roll capitals of the world, Perth Amboy, New Jersey, and Adelaide, South Australia. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage, RSO.
I'm
happy to have you with us this evening and want you to enjoy every minute of your stay here. And while you relax and stretch, visit our concession where you'll find something to please you. There are ice-cold drinks, delicious sandwiches, ice cream, coffee and snacks, and many other pleasing treats. Our foods are fresh and tasty, our drinks satisfying and refreshing. They're so good.
One, two, three, four!
A nice bus you got there. Let's hope it won't be all full of bullet holes and blood.
Oh, there's one little dressing case with some things I need. May I have that, please?
I took a look in that case. I got a friend that likes rubies.
You mean you're going to steal them?
Yes, ma'am.
You're a filthy thief.
Yes, ma'am.
Think you fit me? Why should I give me something? Let her keep me off the floor.
is Russell Crowe. You're with Little Steven on the Underground Garage. When are you gonna grow up, mate?
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week. We are Magic from RSO. Who is RSO, you ask? I'm glad you asked that question. It's Richie Sambora and Orianti. Get it? RSO. Yeah, see? Produced by Bob Rock. And Richie and Orianti wrote it and obviously sung it. They are the Delaney and Bonnie of hard rock. And I think going to be huge sometime in our lifetime. Abe L'Oreal is on drums. Abe L'Oreal Jr., actually, who has been Paul McCartney's drummer for the last, I don't know what, 10, 12 years? 15? I don't know. And producer Bob Rock gets a percussion and guitar. The EP is Making History. So far, they've put out 2 EPs, and go see them if they come to your neighborhood. RSO with our coolest song in the world this week, We Are Magic. Perhaps the Raspberries' greatest tonight. Eric Carmen writing and singing. Jimmy Einer, absolute genius producer. T-shirt, The Beaches, the band wrote it. Jimmy Shaw and Emily Haynes produced it. Get it from TheBeachesBand.com. And Sylvain Sylvain, Teenage News, Tony Bon Jovi and Lance Quinn producing that one.
Johnny Rayo on guitar. No relationship to the restaurant that I know of. Come on back. We got one more birthday party for one more member of Rock Royalty. You do not want to miss this one.
Estás escuchando Little Steven's Underground Garage en Rock FM.
El hombre de tus sueños. Bueno, no, el que va justo después.
Esta muchacha no era una oveja, era una cabrita.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su banda. Somos Rock FM. Aprovecha el fin de semana para desconectar tu lado derecho del cerebro y conectar el izquierdo. Somos Rock FM.
Bueno, familia, estamos llegando al final del Underground Garage de esta noche, pero antes de despedirnos y marchar a dormir, o eso imagino, no podemos olvidarnos de un artista que cumple años. El próximo jueves, el señor Roger Daltrey cumplirá 74 años, toda una vida dedicada al rock and roll, con especial atención al grupo de sus amores, The Who. Aunque todo comenzó con la banda de skiffle llamada The Tours, a la que poco a poco se fueron uniendo John Entwistle al bajo y Peter Townsend a la guitarra solista, cambiando más adelante el nombre a The Who. Daltrey, Entwistle y Townsend se criaron juntos en el mismo barrio londinense, en Acton. Los tres también llegaron a coincidir en el colegio y formaron juntos una de las bandas más potentes de la historia, junto al genial batería Keith Moon. Dale, maestro.
Mm-hmm.
welcome back to Sanctuary. We are here to prepare you for the coming week, the hell you'll be going through, the suffering, the agony, the frustration, the horror, also known as the rest of your life. Don't worry about a thing. We got you covered, baby. In fact, just to make sure we got you covered, we're going to do a slightly psychedelic set, beginning with something from The Who's third album, The Who Sell Out. That's the one before Tommy, that's right. And we're starting with The Who because it's Roger Daltrey's birthday, March 1st. Did you know that Roger started off as the lead guitar player in the band? Yeah, it was his group. They were called The Detours, and then they became The Who, and then Pete Medden got involved and turned them all into Mods and changed the name to The High Numbers, and then they opened for Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, who were the first important band to have a three-piece setup with a singer, you know, guitar, bass, drums, and singer. And they liked that so much, Roger switched to singer. Pete Townsend went from rhythm guitar to lead guitar. John Entwistle was already there, of course, on bass. In fact, he was Roger's first choice to join the band, and it was at Entwistle's urging that Roger brought Pete Townsend in. And then Keith Moon came in a little bit later and completed the insanity, and they changed the name back to The Who.
Pete Townsend of The Who, and you're with Little Stephen in the Underground Garage.
Last night
shadow fell upon my lonely room. I touched your golden hair and tasted your perfume. Your eyes were filled with love the way they used to be. Your gentle hand reached out to comfort me.
Now is to get back on the road with the Horrible Who, the worst rock and roll group in the world.
The worst?
Yes. You couldn't pick four more horrible geezers that make the worst noise that you've ever heard in your life.
Shut up.
started off slightly psychedelic set with the more than slightly psychedelic Armenia City in the Sky, written by John Speedy Keen, Pete Townsend's roommate and chauffeur. Kit Lambert with that bizarre production. There's like no chord changes in it. It's one of the weirdest records ever made. Cool, though. They were lighting them up that day, I'm sure. As they were when they named the Electric Prunes. I had too much to dream last night. The psychedelic anthem of all time. Annette Tucker and Nancy Mance, writing and produced by the great Dave Hassinger, who was the engineer on The Last Time and probably Under My Thumb also, that we played in the first set. Why, the latest from Soraya, second coolest song on Dead Reckoning, with more to come. Get it from wickedcoolrecords.com. And the psychedelic king, Jimi Hendrix, with The Experience from their first album, Can You Believe That? Love or Confusion. Sort of the same thing, isn't it, Jimmy? Chaz Chandler, bass player with The Animals, producing. And thus ends Walking Through My Dreams.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank the Hard Rock cafes, hotels, casinos, and the Seminole coolest Indian tribe ever for being our sponsor from day one. And I want to thank all of the Hard Rock employees around the world as we stop in and do our DJ thing when we're on the road. Nicest people in the world, in addition to the best food. And someday will be a rock and roll circuit. I'm never going to give up on that. We want to thank Premier Networks, our new syndicator, Julie Talbot, Rick Bucchietti, Tanya Juhasz, and Corey Neal. Forgive the pronunciation. I'll get it right eventually. And if you're in need of any guitars or amps or tambourines, go see Andy Babuk. I want to thank our... Is Intrepid the word? Or is that an aircraft carrier? Dennis Mortensen, who puts the show together every week in spite of the odds. Go to undergroundgarage.com if you've missed any of our last 750 shows. And Facebook and Twitter and at Stevie Van Zandt. You can talk to me personally. And thank you, Alan Freed. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment. That's entertainment.
Un domingo más toca despedirse a las puertas del Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Espero que tengas una semana fantástica y recuerdes, por supuesto, nuestra próxima cita el domingo a las 10 de la noche aquí en Rock FM. Y apunta esos 74 años que celebraremos el jueves del señor Roger Daltrey, voz de los Who. Yo soy Carlos Medina y te mando un abrazo muy fuerte. Tengas una fantástica noche. Little, buenas noches. Descansa.